Oh, man, I just feel God's presence. Let's read one scripture today. Psalm 16 and 11 simply says this. This is David talking. He calls it the golden psalm. And it's interesting how he writes this and even his background that we'll share a little bit about this. He says, he's talking to God. He says, Lord, you show me the path of life. For in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures evermore. I want to take for a subject today that we're enjoying life with God. Say it with me. I'm enjoying life with God. As we bow our heads, Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for blessing us to make it on this day. And even though it's cold outside, you've blessed us to come. We don't take that for granted. So, Father, we pray that you have something that you specifically want to speak to our hearts. So speak to us today, and we open our hearts to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, I pray for every believer here, everyone that desires to know you more. Make yourself so apparently and abundantly clear to us today in the name of Jesus. May we sense your presence in a whole other way. May we say like the psalmist, in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. So, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name, and we say amen. Come on, let's give him a praise today. He's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. I said, let's give him a praise. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. Happy New Year to you all, and what an amazing time it is to be before you. When I think of this passage, I think of several of the Psalms of David, and this one absolutely blesses me tremendously because it speaks out of his heart. He's in a place where he's enjoyed some good times in life, and then he's had some challenging times in life. And then he asked the Lord, he says, show me the path of life. And he says, for in your presence, and this is what he knows, is the fullness of joy. And let me start off by giving you my first point today, and it's taken from this passage. God wants us to enjoy life in 2018. I want you all to know that God's desire is for you to enjoy your life. Some people think that God wants them to live a miserable life, but God sent Jesus that you might enjoy life. Can I get a witness? And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. Because we think that, you know, life is a trip, life is terrible, life is this, and I won't get any joy until the sweet old by and by, one of these days. How many of you all know that you won't attract many unbelievers with that kind of talk? Just suffer on, brothers, until you get. Now, there's going to be some suffering in it, but there's even joy in suffering. Can I get a witness? Is anybody in the house today? You had some suffering, but because you were in it with God, he was like, hey, we okay, we're coming out of this. Something about him being in your life, him being a part of the equation that makes all the difference in the world. So it's important to know that God wants us to enjoy life. And there's a passage in the book of Timothy 6 and 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. In other words, know that the people in America, we are rich compared to many of the other nations. Can I get a witness? We're rich as far as money, but some other things we can grow in. But it says, it's talking about money here, who are rich in this present world right now, not to be arrogant, not to be puffed up in their own hope in wealth, which is so what? Uncertain. He says the wealth in this life is uncertain. You can be doing well today, but tomorrow is a whole nother day. And if your focus is on only what you have, you will be let down. Can I get a witness? But here's what he says. But to put their hope where? In God. And what does God do? Who richly provides us with everything for our what? So God wants us to enjoy ourselves. And I know some of you say, well, I don't believe God wants us to enjoy ourselves. If he did, why would there be a devil? Can I let you know it's enjoyable to kick the devil's behind because we've been given authority? Hallelujah in this place. He's given us everything for our enjoyment. And it's not new. He started in the book of Genesis. And I just want you to know that, man, in Genesis, his desire was to place us in a place of utopia. Think about it, man. You know, you got waterfalls. You've got animals, lions that won't bite you. Think about it. Man, you've got every plant that you need. You know, you've got everything. And if you want more of a certain thing, you just plant a seed and it grows up. There's no rain days because the water came from underneath. Man, think about that. You didn't have to worry about clothing bill because no one wear clothes. Think about it, man. God put you in a place of utopia. He wanted you to enjoy. And the thing that we lost, the second Adam came to replace that, is what the scripture says. And it's important for us to know that. And here's the reason that we need to know that. It's because some people don't feel comfortable having a good time. And I must admit that one time I didn't think it was good to have fun in church. It wasn't good for, you know, anytime someone said a joke, they said something like, you know, be sober, brother. Be sober. Don't be so carnal. And I was thinking like, man, oh, man, I can't even have a good time when it's a good. And, you know, some funny stuff happens at church. Can I get a witness? But can't nobody laugh. You know good and well it was funny when she slipped and fell. After you found out she was okay. Yeah, but some stuff happens, man. And but the thing is that you can't laugh because you're not supposed to have a good time in church. We're here to change that. Because I believe that God wants us to enjoy our life, and especially at church. Can I get a witness in this place? Somebody give God praise. I grew up under many people, and some of them, they took this mindset, you know. If it makes you grin, it must be sin. I want you to know that God don't mind you grinning. Can I get a witness in this place? Some people really don't want to be a believer or a Christian because they think when you get saved, you no longer have a good time. The party is over. Do you know any people like that? You know, and in fact, I used to be one. When I was coming up, they were saying, do you want to be saved? I was like, Why? Because I don't want my life to be over. I still like to have a good time. I wish I had been around some people because why? They said, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't go here, you can't go there. And I was like saying, I don't want that, not till I get about 60. Hallelujah. And then just before they close the door, then I want to get in and say, save me, Lord, because I'm having a good time out here. Can I let you know that I found out that it's the opposite. When you find out the heart of God, you'll have way better time serving God than you would in the world because the party don't stop. Because ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party. Can I get a witness? Because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be giving God glory. And I want us to get used to having a good time in church. Amen? Amen. Somebody give God praise right in this house. Woo! I want the world to look at us and say, wow, I don't know what they've got, but I want some of that. I don't know what they're on, but they seem excited. Why are they throwing their hands in the air? Why are they doing a little jig? Why they got so much joy even when they're going through a challenge? I want you to know that when you've got it and when you've got God with you, regardless of what you're going through, you can say, Father, I've got joy down on the inside. And the joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Somebody give God praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I must admit that I had to work on this because, I always had not appreciated even the challenging times or the growing times in our life. Because sometimes you say, well, I'll be happy when, or I'll have enjoy when this takes place. I remember I was probably 22, 23 when I had my first son, and Jita was like 20-something too. And but we remember being at this place called the Golden Bear, and this just reminds me. The Golden Bear, it used to be on the corner of 6th and something, and we were there, and we were just enjoying ourselves. We had our little baby with us. And then he started clowning. The oldest one, who will remain nameless, man, he started screaming and yelling and squirting on everything. You know, like literally. Yeah, Jesus says, but I'm just painting the picture. It was a chocolate mess. And I was upset, frustrated. I'm just telling you about babies. Babies will make you pray. Can I get a witness? Amen. And I remember saying, man, this baby, I'll be glad when this is over. I'll be glad, man, I'll be glad. I'll be, Lord, I don't know when this stops, but I'll be glad when it stops. And a lady and a man come, they come up together, and they come by us, and that's after she took him out of the bathroom and cleaned him up and brought him back. He was still crying. And the lady looked at us, her and her husband said, "We remember when we were your age," and they were old, and they had a lot of wisdom. They said, "You know, I remember when we were this age, we had our children were this age." He says, your son is so cute. He says, if you better make sure that you enjoy this stage of life, because before you know it, this cute little baby is going to be grown and gone." And I was looking at him. I was thinking, you know, I'd like it to be faster than a long time from now. And then I looked at my son the other day, who will remain nameless. And I saw him, he's like 30-something now, and I was thinking like, yeah, God, it happened so fast. Can I let you know that God wants you to enjoy today? He doesn't want you to wait till something happens. Enjoy your babies today. Enjoy your spouse today. Oh, I'm getting quiet and enjoy. They say, "You don't understand." I'm just letting you know that if you wish your life away waiting for something to happen, you need to enjoy your job today. Say, "Well, I want to, when I retire." No, don't wait. Then you may not even be strong enough or have your right mind. You need to enjoy him right now. I'm not waiting on anybody or anything to give God glory and thank him for where I am today. I'm thanking God right now. And I'm about to have a birthday, you know, later on this year. And it's amazing. I can't believe that I'm already in my 50s. Can you believe that? My goodness. So therefore, I'm learning how to enjoy this stage of my life. Can I get a witness in the house? That's only a few people. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God. Because God gives us all things to enjoy. And let me let you know some things that it will not come from, because sometimes we look for joy and we look for joy in all the wrong places. I believe that, you know, we got so much stuff going on and you know, wow. Yeah, let me just go here. My second point is very important. Very important. We'll go back to that maybe. Because the world, first of all, is struggling and they're searching for joy and fulfillment. They're looking. That's why they go to, you know, the party over here. They go to kick it over here. They go to this person place. They go to the game. They go to the club. But they're looking for a good time and something that will fulfill them. Can I get a witness in this house? You know, they're looking. And I was looking, too. But I was looking in the wrong places. But God wants us to recognize that, man, you know, there's no fulfillment. I mean long-term fulfillment that's going to bless you and bring you joy like he can. And I think today that there are too many people that we turn a good time, something that was supposed to be fun or enjoyable, into work. And we got to watch that, because if we're not careful, we'll come to church and we'll act like, "I'll be glad when it's over," like it's a job. You punching the clock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We will turn, you know, raising our beautiful, darling children into, "I can't wait till they get out this house." Hallelujah. It's getting quiet. And "I'll be glad when they go on section." Hallelujah. You better enjoy them. And I want to make sure that everybody that comes in, you know, that you recognize that this is a privilege and a pleasure to give God glory. And it's a time of joy and enjoyment, because you're spending time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you with me today? I talked to one of our worship leaders. It's been about 15, 20 years ago. And one of our worship leaders, he didn't have things tight, and he was struggling to get this together and got together, and at the end of the service he you know, kind of stumbled through things, and he says, "Pastor, I am so glad that worship is over." And I'm thinking like, man, you missed it. You mean you struggled through? No, listen, don't do that. Listen, if you go before God, you want to go before him with the right heart. It's not about doing a service. It's about having a heart bent toward God. Yes, do we want to give God excellence? Yes, he wants excellence, but more than excellence, he wants what's in your heart. Are you with me today? If the songs didn't line up right, if the musicians didn't know the songs, if I didn't have the messages all tight, God wants me to share out of my heart. Are you with me today? And I know sometimes it's kind of hard, even when you're studying your word, you'd never be, I'm glad I'm done with that. Let me shut the door. No, when you're studying your Bible, you say, Father, thank you for this time to get to know more about you. It's a reading a love letter about who you are and how much you love us. Are you with me today? Somebody give God praise in this place. He's God. We can turn what is supposed to be a good time into a challenging time. I remember, going on vacation. If any of you all went to vacations and while you're on vacation, you needed a vacation from the vacation. You drive a long way, all the way to Florida, to see a mouse named Mickey. They charge you over $100 to get in, but you're on vacation. You wait in long lines to see Donald and then Goofy, a dog. And then you pay, and then my kids, we try to tell them, don't be asking for everything. And they just look at you then. So-and-so got the thing. His dad bought him that. Shut up. I want that $35 mouse. But we having fun. Drinking $4 sodas. We having fun. You load up everything, pack everything up. Head all the way back. It's hours and hours, but you're on vacation, having fun. And I have to remind myself, it's not about, the mouse. It's not about the $35 this or that and soda that you don't need and all this other stuff. We're waiting in them long lines. It's about the kids. It's about enjoying them. Can I get a witness? Yes, one clap. That's all right. Thank God. It's about the kids. And then I tell them, we could have stayed at home and I could have enjoyed you. But they didn't agree. Hallelujah. And I'm all right with that. Do you know that God is concerned about the things that concern us? If it's important to us, he says, well, it may not be that important to me, but since it's important to you, I'm concerned about it. And God blesses us sometimes just because that's what we want. Because why? God wants us to enjoy ourselves. Somebody give God praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. My wife has this thing where we go on a walk on occasions and I have to, and she, I like walking because I like to, stay in shape. And there's so many steps, just like you all, so many steps you want to get in a day. And we got this path that we normally take and I like to go. We don't go together all the time. And when we go together, she tells me and kind of reminds me because, if I'm walking with her, I want to get a workout in. I want to get my heart rate up. I want to get, man, let's do something. Yeah. And she ain't trying to walk like that. She tells me, because I'm like saying, let's do some push-ups, let's do some jumping jacks. I'm like doing some high knees, and she likes saying, no, this ain't that kind of walk. I said, well, Jita, can we just run some? No, I'm not running. So there's a hill. Can we take that hill? No, this ain't that kind of walk. Well, baby, tell me what kind of walk it is. This is a holding hands walk. So looking at the ducks walk. This is a looking at the flowers walk. Looking at the neighbor's lawn walk. How many of you all know that sometimes God doesn't want you to run through life as in duty, as in trying to get something worked out? He sometimes wants to just fellowship with you. And sometimes we get in a hurry, even at church, and he says, no, this is not that kind of service. Slow it down. Hold my hand. Talk to me. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to see your heart. I want to see if you really desire me or are you just going through the motions. Are you with me today? And God wants us to slow our roll sometimes. How many of you all know sometimes we get too busy? We get too busy. We get caught up in making enjoyable things work. We make things that, and sometimes we get stressed out about nothing. Somebody says, is he talking about me? How many of you all, you all stressed out about something, and then later on you find out there's nothing to be stressed about after it's all over. You say, man, you were stressing about nothing. Blood pressure high, running here and there. And even we got some overachievers that saying, well, I'm trying to do this. I got to do this. And why do you have it? Because I got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. You don't need it, but you got to have it, right? And it's caused anxiety. Somebody say amen. Amen. And depression. Something called, they call SAD, which is sad, but it actually deals with the fact, now I wrote it down because it was so interesting, seasonal affective disorder. That means that during certain seasons, you get depressed. And I'm not knocking it, but I know something that can be, and they've got, you know, drugs for seasonal affective disorder. That means that in fall, it starts coming on, your mood starts changing, you start getting low, you start getting the blues, and then by the time Christmas gets here, it's even worse, and then, you know, it don't leave until, like, spring. That's a long time to deal with sad. Can I get a witness? I want to kick sad out of my mind, out of my head. I want to get rid of sad. Can I get a witness? Because the truth be known that we don't have to be sad. Why? Because we have a clear conscience based upon what Christ has done for us. You know, we don't have to be sad because the truth be known is that by his stripes are we healed. We don't have to be sad because truth be known is that, you know, to live is Christ, and even if I die, it's gain. Can I get a witness? Somebody said every day above the ground is a good day. Even if you put me in the ground, it's still a good day because I'm going to rise again. Somebody give God praise because he went to prepare a place for me. That one day where he is, I will be also. Just know that we don't have to be sad. And if sad comes up, we've got the authority to kick sads behind because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Somebody give him some joy right now. Well, here's what we have to do. We have to recognize that we will not find joy and fulfillment in people. You know, people will try to oftentimes say, well, if you could just find the right one. How many of you all know if you find the right one, you know, even the right one needs help? Any of y'all married to the right one? That don't mean that they're got it all together, does it? Nope. I'm the right one, but I still need work. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm married to the right one, and we still have to pray. Thank you, Jesus. So it's not about necessarily finding the right one. If you think that person, and that's a whole lot of pressure to put on somebody, you make me happy. Man, somebody said, well, when this happens, then I'll be happy. If this person, if this movie star, this entertainer, I want to see them, they will make me happy. It's just temporary. That's all. It's just temporary. And I want you to know that God wants you to go beyond that. If I get in this group, this fraternity, this organization, if I just get in the who's who organization, you know, but I'm telling you, that's only temporal. Places also will not bring you fulfillment. I'm talking long-term joy and fulfillment. Places will not do it. Some say, if I move to Cali, I'm going to be straight. L.A. is where I belong. Not only the Beverly Hillbillies belong in California, I need to go too. But I'm telling you, no, it may be okay for a while, and especially on a cold day like today, it would be pretty nice. Can I get a witness? Tropical season, man, it's kind of nice to be in some of those spots. You know, but it's only for a season. And you'll be there for a while, and then you'll be talking about, man, I didn't know bugs was this big down in all this heat. I didn't know they had this many mosquitoes. Man, I was on the beach in one place, man, they had something coming up out of the sand. I didn't even know it, man. That stuff was popping all up on me, man. On skin, it's pop. I was like, what is this? I asked one of the natives, I said, man, what is this? I said, I don't see nothing, but stuff is biting me and webs are popping up. They said, those are sea knots. I said, sea knots? I said, you should have told me this before I came on this thing. What do you do for sea knots? That means that some things are biting, you just can't see them. Now, you know I have to rebuke that stuff, right? Give me some stuff. Take it out. I'm just saying that every place has its challenges. There's no place that is perfect. Every place has its challenges. So therefore, don't think that a place is going to change your whole joy and your fulfillment. Here's the next thing you can't focus your attention on. People, places, and things. You can say, when I get this house, when I get this new pair of shoes, when I get this new outfit, when I get this new ride, if I get that what ride is that? That's pretty nice. That Cadillac, whatever. Escalade. I'll be rolling, man. That's what. When I get that, I'm gonna be all right. I'll be happy. How many of y'all would be that would make you happy for a minute? I get that Escalade. When I get that BMW, that 5 Series. When I get that, whatever, y'all name it. Oh, okay, y'all talking real big. When I get that thing, when I get the American dream, when I get this job, it's a thing. And sometimes you think you want that job, and when you get there, man, it is a big letdown. Can I get a witness? I want that promotion. I want that. That thing will not bring joy and happiness to you. Maybe just for a short time. I wrote it down like this. Stop trying to fill the eternal longings with temporary things. Because that longing that you have, things won't fix it. Look what the word says in John 10, 15 and 10. It says this. It says, when you obey my commandments, that's an interesting way to start. This is Jesus talking about his commandments. John wrote it down. When you obey my commandments, you mean obeying your commandments is going to somehow bring me joy? Let's read it. You remain in my love because I love you. I give you these commandments, not because I hate you, because I love you. I give you these parameters and these commandments. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, it's all about the love. 11th verse, it says, I have told you these things. Why? So that you might be filled with what? I want to fill you with my joy, but how you'll be filled with my joy is if you obey my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And yes, your joy will what? How many of you all want overflow joy? You want overflow joy. He said, if you keep his commandments, your joy is going to overflow. That's why I begin to rethink some of the things in my life. I actually begin to find out what I need in my life and what I don't, because just as I fast a couple of times, you know, several times during the year, I also take time out, and you all grab this, I detox a couple of times a year as well. What does that mean? That detox, toxic, from that word, toxic, meaning to do with being poisonous. You know, there's some things that we get that are toxic for our lives. Can I get a witness in this place? Some things that you watch that are toxic. You can't watch everything online. Some of you need to detox from, yeah. You fill in the blank. They're going to say, he's messing with me. Some of you, if you are, you know, pornography is toxic. Get quiet in the porn section. Well. It is, it's toxic. You know, some of that stuff that you get on there and some of the music that you listen to is toxic. I'm just being truthful. I say these things because I love you, and I don't want you going down the wrong way. You know, you've got to detox on occasions, and you've got to get that stuff. You say, well, how does that work with food? Well, do you know that even some of the stuff that you eat, they spray chemicals on it, and that stuff that you ingest or eat, and now that toxic stuff is in your body, but there's some things that you need to detox. Some of you need to give your body a rest and put some things through it so you can get flushed out. Same way spiritually. Can I get a witness? If you want to become spiritually keen, to the things of God, spiritually sharp, you need to let some things go. Hallelujah. You don't need to watch everything on TV. And I know they say, well, I thought we could just watch anything. And God understands. Yeah, he understands that he's got something better for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all still love me, right? Say, I love Jerry Wayne. Y'all don't sound very convincing, but I'm going to preach anyway. God wants us to get some of this toxic stuff out of my body. I had to disconnect from some toxic people. They was full of poison, always spewing out negatives, spewing out things that pull down, say terrible things about you. You don't need that toxicity in your body. Can I get a witness? You're fasting them for 21 days. They said, "What? You haven't returned my call. I'm fasting stuff." The writer here, he says this now, and he's beginning to make a decision. He says that, Lord, I need you to show me because I don't really know by myself. And he asks this question, you know, he says, Lord, you know the path for life. So then the writer, David, says, yeah, he says, you you will show me the path of life. He says, God, you know the path of life, and I want the path of life, not the path of death. Here's my next point. It's very important. It's simply this, is that God knows that there's several paths. The question is which one will you choose? You can choose the high life. You can choose to shine and be here and that and be a part of this and part of that. Or you can choose the path of life. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. I love this passage. Then he goes and gives us another passage in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th and the 15th verse. He simply says this, I've set before you, help me read it today, life and good and death. How many of you all know that there's still life placed before us and it's up to us? We must choose. And we can choose death or we can choose life. And I want to encourage you that God wants us to choose life in this day, in this time. If you really want to enjoy your life, you need to choose life, because there's some things that will bring death. And when he's talking about death, he's not necessarily talking about physical death, even though it can lead to physical death. But he's talking about spiritual death. You will be the walking dead doing what God has not called you to do. Can I get a witness? But if you do what God has called you to do, there's a spirit of life and joy that comes up. So give God praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, he's worthy of it. Give him a better praise than that. He's God. God wants us to find our way back to joy, because, you know, if you're a stressed out Christian, that's not God's best for you. If you are a Christian that's running, trying to achieve in your own strength, that's not God's best for you. If you're dealing with over anxiety and you're just dealing with unhealthy relationships, God is saying, I've got something better for you. Are you with me today? So we need to ask God this simple question, you know, and it's okay to ask God for direction. It absolutely is. And some of us need to know that. And some of us during this time, we'll be asking for direction. God, which way do we go? Any of you all at a crossroad and you need direction? You know, I am right now. I need to say, God, I want to know how to do this. So I need your direction, because if I take the wrong way, it's going to lead to death. You know, and just let me just kind of clarify that just quickly. You know, even if you're not operating in your purpose, doing something out of purpose would also bring death to you. You will not be full of life. But doing what God has put in your heart to do brings life. It rejuvenates you. You're excited. You're fired up. And it's something, because you're walking in the path of life that God has called you to. So some of you need to ask God, God, what direction do you have for me? That's what the writer says. That's what David says. And then it's interesting, after he says, you will show me the path of life, he begins to reflect on his life. And I can reflect on my life as well, and I come up to the same conclusion. Conclusion is simply this, is that David remembered in Psalm 16:11, he says, when I was a shepherd boy, you brought me joy. When I saved the bear, saved my lambs from the bear, it was joy that you brought me. And why? Because every time in your presence, there's a fullness of joy. In other words, regardless of what I was in the midst of, there was joy down inside of me because you were there. So I thought about, as a shepherd boy, and I just was playing my harp. It was joyful. I might not have had the kingdom. Y'all just bear with me for a minute. I might not have had lived in the palace. I might not have had all servants at my beck and call. But I was in your presence, sometimes just leaning against the tree, watching the sheep. But somehow there was joy. That was my best time. And sometimes we would have to think today, it's not about all the stuff. You may have the stuff, but you may not have no joy because you don't have God in your life. I'm just saying, you may have the outfits, you may have the stuff in the bank, but if God is not with you, you will be miserable. And I'm letting you know that in his presence is a fullness of joy. If you want joy, don't look to people, don't look to places, don't look to things, don't look to stuff. You've got to look to him. And David began to think, he says, man, I was in the pasture, but man, I had joy. I was playing my harp. And I think you play it like this. And he says, I had joy. And I wrote songs when I was there. Can you remember back when your life was simpler? When you remember when you wasn't running as much as you are now? I'm preaching whether you're saying amen or not. When you wasn't so caught up in the trying to make a living, trying to make a retirement, trying to get this together. But you was just saying, God, I know that you're going to take care of me because I'm putting my trust in you. Somebody give God a praise in this house. David said, king one day, yeah, but right now I'm thinking that it's pretty good just to be in your presence, because in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, why at your right hand? Remember, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's a place of favor. It says, at your right hand are pleasures. In other words, it's something about being next to Daddy. Can I get a witness? Something about being next. I'm next to you, Daddy, and I know you got everything under control. Can I let you know that even with our church, it's not enough just to have lights, camera, action. It's not enough just to go through the motions and have someone that can deliver a message. No, we want the anointing of God. We don't just want music. We thank you, God, that we have anointed musicians. I thank you, God, the singers are anointed. I thank you, God, that even the ushers, when they take the cup, they're anointed. When they handle the cup, when they come in the front door, people feel the anointing on the altar. The anointing envelops this very place. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is here. I feel him in the atmosphere. Somebody say, give God a praise in the house. No longer church as usual. But God, we won't be satisfied until we have your presence. How many of you know that in his presence, healing takes place? Cancer has to get out of the way. In his presence, tumors have to drop powerless. In his presence, relationships have to line up. In his presence, I'm telling you, we ought to worry about finances or money, because you know God will supply every one of your needs according to his glory. Are you with me today? His riches in heaven. I want you to know that God, if God is with you, every problem, every situation has to drop powerless behind you. Why? Because you're in his presence. Somebody give God praise in this house. I mean, bless him real good. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. So finally, my last point is simply this. Is God invites us into his presence. What does that look like? I want to just share this with you because it blesses me. The scripture says that when Jesus came, he is God with us. So how does that look, especially in this next 21 days that we're setting some things aside to focus our attention upon him? You know, one thing that has to happen, that when you are focusing your attention upon him and want to get closer to him and want to become more spiritually aware and sensitive, because the truth be known is that his presence is here today, and his presence is here in a powerful way. Truth be known is, here's the difference, is that you can be in his presence and not acknowledge him. So the first thing God wants us to do is acknowledge him. So we need to, help me out, acknowledge God. Somebody say it with me. Can I let you know that, let's acknowledge him right now, that he's not only next to you, he's around you. He's inside of you. Sometimes angels' wings brush through this place. And it's not that he's not there. It's the fact that I become aware of it. Thank you, Jesus. And I told you all one day, I'm not getting deep and creepy, so just know this, is that in my house, on occasions, you know, I see this being in my house. You know, this being, I've lived there for 30 years, and I've prayed and sought God and given the house over to him. And on occasions, I'll see my guardian angel coming through that house, and sometimes down the steps, I said, oh, this is a good day. Yeah, I thank you, Jesus, because you showed me that my angel was still in the house. And if there's anything that would try to come against our house, it could not stand. Why? Because God has already set forth his angels encamping around us. And he says, Jerry Wayne, the issue is that, you know, he's there always. Your eyes were just now open to see it because he was there always. Somebody give God praise in this house. Can I let you know that God has an angel encamping around all of you? God said goodness and mercy shall follow you. What? How long? When you go on your job, goodness and mercy is following you. When you go in the bank, goodness and mercy is following you. When they pronounce cancer over your body, goodness and mercy is still following you. When you're going through issues in your life, goodness and mercy is with you. It's not that he wasn't there, God, my eyes became open. We want to acknowledge you, God, in your presence. Somebody give him glory in this house. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. When I think about this, somebody flipped over in the car. And they had to begin to think, you know, after the car turned over, they begin to say, you know, God is with me. So even in this situation, I'm not going to panic. I just acknowledge God. He's a way maker, door opener, the healer, the deliverer. He will calm your nerves. Can I get a witness? So I just want to challenge you to acknowledge his presence. When you leave this place, acknowledge his presence. Father, thank you for your presence. I give you glory. And I just let you know I got a little bit religious the other day, just a little bit. You all were with me when we shared over at the other church New Year's Eve, and I was there, and, you know, God's presence was there, no doubt about it. But, you know, Quentin at the end of it, you know, with his self, you know, he started getting a little jiggy at the end of it. So I just did a little Holy Ghost move. I did a little shoulder something because it was feeling something. And he started going all the way. You know, he was like doing this, and then he called somebody up, called my wife up too. I'm like saying, oh my goodness, you know, because she likes to dance too. And then the next thing I know, it's a bunch of other people, because they was up on the front row doing the electric slide. I was like saying, they was doing anything. I was like, oh my God. I said, oh my God, I wanted to look at Carlos so bad. I said, Carlos, don't go up there. You save, right? They saved Carlos. But then God reminded me, he said, son, you know, they will do it other places, because some people will only do things if they're not in church, but if they're in church, they won't do it. So we think that the building is something holy about the building. Now, understand, follow me. I didn't say do everything in church, but here's one thing about it, that God says, I no longer dwell in earthen vessels of stone, but I dwell in people. Now, follow me here. We at home and in the gym, it's okay that we do our due, but when we get to church, it's like, oh, I don't want to be, I'm be holy up in here. Can I let you know, God's presence is everywhere you go, and just because sometimes you act one way, one place, and another place, another way, God still knows you, and he wants your heart to be right. So if you dance, and I don't care what dance you're doing, you got to do it unto him so he might get the glory. And ain't no need to be a religious God, it's on you. So Father, you get the glory out of the dance that I do. Somebody give him praise in this place. Woo. I hear somebody saying right now, Pastor, did you just give us permission to do the electric slide? No. In church. Hallelujah. But I did say this. God has given you freedom. He's given you freedom to express yourself unto him. You just got to acknowledge him. That's why he says, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. The next thing you need to do, it's not only acknowledge him, you need to talk to him. What is talking to him? Talking to him is prayer. And I didn't say be deep, you know, quote a bunch of scriptures that you don't know, you know. Say what you know. If all you know is, God, I love you. I need you to help me through this day. I'm struggling with some things right now, God. You know he knows your heart. So just let him know. Now understand, if I was walking with Jita, we were on one of her walks in the park, and I said her walk because mine would be a fast one or a jog, so one of her walks, it would be wrong of me to not acknowledge her. Can I get a witness? If it would be wrong of me to not acknowledge her, well, how much wrong would it be for us not to acknowledge God? We're walking through the day, but we're not acknowledging him. Everybody else, we're not acknowledging, but we're not acknowledging him. We're talking to everybody else, but we're not talking to him. God wants us to acknowledge him. He wants us to talk to him. And I want you to practice talking to him. Say, God, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. I give you glory. God, you know my heart. And even when you're angry, you can say, God, I've got some stuff going on right now. I'm not happy right now. So-and-so got under my skin. I shouldn't have did it, but I need your help. I wanted to hit them, but I didn't, you know. But God, thank you. I'm just being real. Now, I've had, any of you all had some real conversations like me? Am I the only one? I want to fight, God, but I didn't. Thank you, Lord. You know, but you blessed me. I wanted to honk and then speed by him and, you know, say a few words after I rolled down the window. But I didn't, Lord. But you know my heart. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Let him know what's going on in your heart. And then let him know what your desire is. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell him what you're going through and let him know, you know, he'll let you know that I'm going to provide every one of your needs. Learn how to talk to him. Some of us really struggle with talking. Can I get a witness? Especially in this day and time. We got quiet in the I don't talk section. It's just on me. He knows I'm not going to say. No, learn. Prayer is talking. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's a way of communicating. Even when we're worshiping, I encourage you to open your mouth and talk to him. The third thing I want you to do is listen. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. That's just, God, I know you're with me right now. Talk to him. That's prayer. You'll have time. 21 days. You'll be amazed what will take place. If you acknowledge him every day when you get up in the morning. I acknowledge you, God. I acknowledge it was you that woke me up this morning. I acknowledge it was you that started me on my way. It was you that caused my eyes to open. I acknowledge it was you that keeps my heart beating. Can you see where that, a place that would put you? It would cause you to say, God, I thank you for your presence being around me. Talk to him, opening your mouth on a regular basis. And don't just do it, you know, just once a day. But man, I like my brother I was with. I was hanging out with him. And he said, and all while we were together, every hour on the hour, he takes a moment to stop everything and just begin to pray. And I was hanging out with him. I was like, man, this is pretty cool. You know, I want you, if you take, every time you think about it, just begin to talk to God, begin to pray to him, either thanking him, giving him glory, worshiping him. It makes a tremendous difference. And then finally, last thing, what's the last thing say? How many of you all know we need to listen better? And it's hard to listen with a whole lot of things in our ear. It's hard to listen when we're listening to, you know, this is, I'm closing my book. But this is, I don't know if this is a good one to end on or not. But I was praying with one of the young brothers that goes to the church. And we were in Jita's office and he was going through some things. And he said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. And I said, I'd be glad to pray for you. He was listening to, you know, something in his ear. I couldn't tell what it was. So I said, but you got to take the earphone out, you know. And when he took it out, he says, I want you to pray. I'm praying to him in one ear. He had one earplug in. And then I asked him, I said, at the end of the prayer, I said, what are you listening to? And he said, I said, man, let me hear. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't want to hear that? I said, no. I do want to hear that. I plugged it in. I never hear so much cussing and this and that. I was like, saying, how you going to listen to praying in one ear and the devil in the other one? Oh. Am I okay today? I'm going to ask you the same question. How you going to listen to the devil in this ear and God in this ear? The Bible says, come from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord. If you're going to go for God, you need to go all the way. Amen. You know, how can, you know, both, you know, this come out of good vessels and evil come out of the same? It can't do it. You know, we need to say, God, I'm all the way in. God, all of you. You've got all of me, both ears. I'm listening. Because God wants to speak to us. Last scripture, and the musician has already come. You all get this today? Amen. Somebody give God praise in this house. Hebrews 9:11 simply says this. And dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Why? Because the curtain was rent from the top to bottom. And since we have a great high priest, that high priest is Jesus, who rules over God's house, Help me read this last one. Let us go right into what? Go where? One more time. Go where? How? With fully. When you get in God's presence and when you trust him, because he says, I got this, that means you don't have to worry. I enter into the Holy of Holies. Everything else drops powerlessly behind me. Why? Because I trust God. Problem what? They talking about me. Doesn't matter. Why? Because I trust God. And I'm in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore.